Christ, we begin our pop music versus godly music part two. Let's all bow our heads, pray in silence, please. Amen. Thank God, enough said about the pop music, so just to let you know what's behind the driving force of this. Yes? That I don't know. I assume it's okay. This is from tradition.
Yeah.
But please don't, in the future, if you know, try to stay away from all kinds of gestures. This, if you see my advice is, if you do such a gesture just out of thinking a pop singer is cool or somebody's cool doing that, try not to imitate that. Yep. And let's keep all the questions after the, then we'll have a discussion maybe in the night, okay? No problem.
Yeah, we promised to have discussions, but we talk so much, so we eat up your discussion time now. So we're going to keep talking. And then if you want to discussions, you're more than welcome to talk to us afterwards in dinner, meals, and whatever times, okay?
Yes.
And the second hour, we had enough said about pop music, and when we research and when we share our experience with you about pop music, we are actually indirectly promoting it by talking about it and make it subconsciously. So I would urge you and advise you that, and for me too, I hope that will be the last time you hear and know about or research about for us like pop music. And let's leave it at that. The second hour we're going to dedicate to hymnal music.
Yep.
What's godly music?
Now it's the happy hour.
How do we approach it? It's all about the good things now. So how do we approach godly music? What is godly music? And all these kind of things. Okay. So, quick. Well, we do have a mini discussions. Like we will leave like 1 minute. Can you tell me what is hymn singing or what is hymn singing for? You should know very well. So just any key words will be fine.
Yes, please. Why do we sing hymns? The reasons we sing hymns.
Yes. What is it? Yes.
To praise
God. Praise
God. Something else.
Anything else?
Hymns has a lot of more functions.
Yes.
Prepare your hearts to worship. That's a very good one. What else? In the Bible, it's recorded biblically. What's the function of hymn singing? Anyone else?
I will actually, for the time being, I will jump into. So we all say hymn offering, yes? So hymn is a kind of offering. So if you put a parallel to the Old Testament, the offering is a kind of like an animal sacrifice, yes? So the hymnal offering is as sacred and as solemn and as spiritual as an offering, a sacrifice offering. So if you have, thinking along that way, what do we offer God? Do we offer God chocolate? Yes? Time. And what kind of things do we offer God? What is the qualification of the offering? Is it good quality, bad quality? Do we offer the good quality things or the bad quality things to God?
So what's a good quality hymn singing offer?
Yeah, so the answer is good quality and the best quality.
When we offer to God,
when we offer
in the Old Testament time, what kind of animal do you offer? Huh? I can't hear you. Can you speak loudly, please?
Yeah,
the firstborn. Why is it the firstborn? The most important, the best, right?
You guys
very good.
Well.
Excellent.
Yay. And then also you offer something that has no flaws, right, in the Bibles.
Can anyone tell me in which book it record that you offer a lamb that's pure white, without blemish?
No blemish.
Right?
Are you familiar
the Bible
with that?
Recorded.
Yes.
Anyone? Esther, you got it. No?
You don't have to tell verses, just say book. Like, what book is it recorded? What kind of things you have to offer?
We have to offer a pure white lamb without blemish. A cow, maybe.
Something without faults.
Right. Which means the purest. The purest of the purest. The best. The firstborn.
The cleanest?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's in the Old Testament time. God instructed us how to offer to Him.
So then, if you compare this to music offering, like hymn offering, what do you mean by offering the purest hymn or the best hymn to God? What does it mean?
Right. What is this firstborn in hymn offering? What is this purest in hymn offering?
I would say, because we say so much about music provokes emotions, yes? So that's why pop music is dangerous, because it provokes certain kind of emotions we want to stay away with. So that also means when we offer our hymns to God, we have to have the purest emotions, the best emotions, the kind of good quality emotions. So then the next question is, now what is emotions? You know, so what kind of emotions do we offer to God? So there comes the definition. Yes. So we actually look it up in the dictionary, what emotion is.
What is emotions?
So the emotion, according to the Academic Dictionary, Oxford, I think that's where we will go to, is a subjective, conscious experience, biological reactions, and mental statement, often influenced by hormone, or dopamine, oxytocin, mood, temperament, atmosphere, disposition, motivations, and this is usually the driving force behind motivation and actions. So emotions is the driving force behind everything you do and everything that you feel and what you think. All the thoughts are driven by the emotions. So this chain reactions, your behaviors, your decisions, your thoughts, everything that you are in your mind, in your behaviors, this creates culture, okay? And then we say, okay, so the emotions creates culture. Then what is culture? What does culture mean? So we look up in the dictionary, and it says it's the arts and other manifestation of human intellectual achievement regarded collectively. So it's the kind of things that humans do all together, and that becomes a culture. So now, we actually, what draws our attention is the human intellectual achievements. The key word here is culture is created by human, for human.
To please human.
To please human, to serve human. So culture usually is not the standard for Christians. Now you will say, now for the culture, you know, can we use the cultural behaviors?
Before we discuss that, having said that, the culture is created by people, for people, and what about hymns?
Is hymn created by people, for people?
Hymn is created for God, for people to worship God. And here I would like to share a few points. If you want to write it down, you can write it down. If you don't want to write it down, if you can remember, I have about 7 points, but if you can remember any one of them, it would be very beneficial for you. As you see, we're not very PowerPoint.
Techie. We're not technology.
But I believe, you know, this communication is more important than any of the handout I can give you. It's just not very my way of doing.
And this is a trailer for our 3-hour music workshop out on January 3rd, if you want to attend that one.
Please do, Garden Grove Church. Now, I have a few points of why do we sing hymns and the function of hymns. Now, we all learned in the last hour the function of pop music, and it's destructive, and it's sneak the Satan's way into your mind. While the function of hymns, what is the function of hymns? So I have a few things to say about that. The first thing is singing hymns is obeying God's commandment. You know, like in the Colossians said, singing is not just an option in Scripture. Actually, God commands us to sing, to worship Him, to praise Him. Again, in Colossians chapter 3, 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And in Ephesians chapter 5, 18 to 19, say, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music to the Lord with your heart.
So that's Colossians 3:16.
No, this is Ephesians 5, 18 to 19.
So yeah. Here, write down Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians
18 and 19.
Ephesians chapter 5, 18 and 19.
Yeah.
For your future.
So we're God's people, and we're more than just invited to sing. We're commanded to sing. When we sing, we're doing that, what God asks us to do. And this is the first thing. Yeah? Like singing hymns is obeying God's commandment. And singing hymns begins with meditating God's word. Now, having said that, do you think it is emotionally possible that if we're fed daily by the pop music, by the things we listen, by the beat we listen, by this, and now let's sing hymn. I'm in church, let me sing hymn. So let me switch off my worldly mind, and now my godly mind is on. Let me sing hymns with my purity. Is it possible? Are human emotions built to switch on and off like that? No, it is not. It needs cultivation. It builds on your daily life routine. It builds on your daily life habits and attitude. So singing hymns begin with meditating God's word. We have to meditate God's word and daily so we can sing hymns. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Again, and Apostle Paul lays out this exhortation to let God's word dwell in us richly. And then he tells us how to live out that command. The first, of course, is teaching. But then what's the other way to deliver God's words into people's ear besides teaching? It's singing hymns. So singing hymns begins with meditating God's word. And to all the hymnal leaders, please do know that the hymnal session, this hymn singing session, is not just a warm-up for the sermon or the filler in the service. It is clearly says in the Bible, says singing stands alongside of preaching as one of the two great ways that God has ordained for his word to dwell richly in each one of us. The hymn we sing together end up serving you as this a few minutes getaway, a few minutes take away God's words to home. And the same thing that Satan used to slide his words into music, and the same thing, we use this powerful way. Music is this powerful way we can deliver God's word into the truth seeker's ears. And that ties to the third point, is singing builds up others. Like Ephesians, again, Ephesians chapter 5, 19 says, note specifically here, it says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we see same things in Colossians as well. So when we do what Bible says and sing together, which is very, very important, when we sing together in the church as a family, we are hearing God's teaching and love in musical form around us. And this is the audible love. Hymn, eventually, is a musical form, the word, God's word in musical form. And God's word, if we sum up all the Bible, yeah, if we sum up in one word for God's teaching, what is it? What would this one word sum up? Love. Yes, it is love. So next one is singing is declaring the war with Satan. And we all know biblically it's recorded that how there's this music group, actually, they go before the soldiers drive their horses to fight the enemies. So singing music is declaring war with Satan as well. And the fifth point, when you sing, you spiritually strengthen for trials. Specifically, I enjoy so much this. I don't know if I can ever achieve that, but I every time read this chapter in Acts chapter 16, 25. Before we read that, you know, oftentimes we think only of singing when we're happy and having a good time, you know, I'm really enjoying my day, or I enjoy this God's teaching, when we're happy, we sing. But no, singing hymns brings strength, for trial comes out in Acts 16. When Paul and Silas are unjustly imprisoned for the sake of the gospel, what did they do in prison? What did they do when Paul was in prison? They sing. Yes, they sing hymns. And the truth is confirmed in the lives of lots of persecuted believers throughout the history. So singing hymns can help us go through trials. If any of you brothers and sisters, you are having a hard time, not only when you're having a good time, when you're having a hard time, that you feel lonely, you feel no one is understanding you, you feel that you cannot get through this, this is difficult, would you please remember this, that open your hymn books, just believe in Jesus Christ, open your hymn books, choose a hymn and start to sing. You will see this magic will happen. This God's love will be upon you. It really will work. I promise you that. I personally try it because, look, I'm a full-grown adult, and I think, you know, what kind of a child play is that when I hear this message? Singing will help you to go through your trials. And, you know, in fact, I did that. I had some hard time in my life, and, you know, I have no way to go. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and, you know, I lost some very, very important things in my life, and I was miserable. So I think, will it really work to sing a hymn? Who are you trying to fool? Maybe I would say this to a child, but would I believe that myself? You know, if then I opened my hymn and I started to sing one after another. This joy started to come into my heart, and this joy started to blossom. And guess what? Then I think of Jesus Christ and think, if I have Christ's love with me. Jesus Christ told us in the Bible, said, do not worry about tomorrow. By the way, do not worry about tomorrow has double meaning. Is no matter what's tomorrow there, if you worry about it, you will lose your sleep. If you don't sleep well, you can do nothing tomorrow. So please, do not worry tomorrow also to me means a very important thing is have a good sleep in the night. Do not worry about tomorrow. See, Jesus Christ cares about us so much. He cares about our health. If you do not worry tomorrow, you will sleep well, right? So then I slept well. That was really God's miracle to me. So singing can help us spiritually, strengthen us for trials. Now the sixth is when you sing, you walk a God-designed pathway to joy. There are numerous verses in the Bible recorded that how singing ties together with joy as well. So when we're happy, what do? We sing. When we're not happy, what do? We should sing. In Psalm chapter 5, 11, let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt in you. And in Psalms, mainly in Psalms, a lot of, for instance, chapter 59, 16, I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning, for you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. Psalm 63, verse 7, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. James 5:13, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. As we study scripture in this point, you will notice that sometimes singing gives birth to joy, and sometimes joy gives birth to singing. But persistently in scripture, joy and singing are bound together. You can't study one of those two biblical themes without encountering the other. So if you struggle for joy, if you want joy but you don't have joy, please sing hymns. Sing hymns. Not let it go. If you're joyful, please sing hymns. In God's perfect design and in His perfect understanding of the human condition. He has bound joy and singing hymns together for his people. And all these 6 points sums up in the last point is, when you sing hymn, which is the most important, you glorify God. When you sing hymn, you glorify God. Truly obedience, deep roots in the word, build up others. And making war against Satan and sin, and preserving and finding joy in God. All of these things bring glory to God, each person's chief goal and chief purpose in life. So, singing hymns has really very important functions in the scriptures and in the biblical teachings. And singing hymns brings love to one another. Singing hymns give us wisdom, and singing hymns build up others. And singing hymns glorify God. For all these functions, and for all the God's teaching, it tells us hymns. And before we have anything else, before we have a further progress we make, it's one more thing about hymn books. This hymn book is what we sing. Yes? We're not saying you should not choose other hymns to sing in certain presentation or certain things. Maybe with Holy Spirit, with prayers, you may choose something else to sing. You may choose another hymn or a beautiful melody with God's words to sing in a presentation or in an evangelical event or in a service. But before you do that, please, please, always ask yourself a question. Why? Why do you need to choose a hymn outside of this hymn book that took lots of holy workers' labors and love to create, to put them together? Not to mention spend lots of financially and time. Yep. Before anything else, this hymn book abides God's love in it. Before we do a further editing, this hymn book is what we do for fellowship and for service. And again, I'm not saying we cannot choose other hymns outside of our hymn book, but please do always ask yourself a question. Why? Do you really need it?
So then back to his arguments about... It's actually tied up, so because the kind of hymnal pieces that we have heard since we came to the church just 4 years ago is we heard a lot of pop style hymn singing in a choir practice. We're not saying that it's a no-no, but we found it's very puzzling for us who didn't grow up in TJC. Like, why do you choose things that's not from the hymn book? You don't study things outside of Bible for the truth. If hymn is as important as offering, we treat them as truth, then when you do the hymn offering, why do you choose things other than a hymn book? That's a question that we're asking. So let me leave you with this. So the pop style that we use because it's more appealing to the people, of course, because that's how the culture reflects. The culture is reflected in pop music, of course. But let me share with you a few verses from Deuteronomy. So everybody please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, chapter 12, verse 4. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way. So this is actually something you need to ponder about. Like, do we use a cultural trend such as pop music or modern practice such as the baptism, they use a sprinkling of water, that's a modern trend. Do we use a cultural way to worship God? And of course, according to the Bible, the answer is no. So then, do you use a pop music style to worship God? I would say, first, the answer is no, but you really, like, we use it so much in the church to use things other than hymn book. Ask yourself why, okay? Now, to answer this question, there also is an answer, I think the biggest question, that the things we're trying to have you be aware of is, if you're still not convinced in our more than 1 hour presentation, you know, why pop music is bad. If you're still not convinced, then ask yourself this. We all agree already, when we do the hymn offerings, we offer the purest emotion, yes? And what is the purest emotion? What kind of emotion is offerable to God, is pleasing to God? Just two verses for you to remember. And these two verses is your standard whether or not you should listen to certain music, whether the music gives you pure emotions. Just these two, okay? So let's turn to James chapter 3. Verse 17 and 18. So, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. So this is how we know what is pure emotion. It's full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and sincere. And peacemaker who sow in peace prays a harvest of righteousness. So these are the qualities of pure emotion. That's the first verse. Second verse, you have to remember as a standard to filter what you listen to, is a very well-known verse. It's Galatians 5:22, the fruit of Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. Let's all read this together. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which I believe is the pure emotion, the emotion that's worthy of offering. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Everybody together, please. But the fruit, everybody, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay? So, whatever music that you're listening to, if it provokes the emotions of the above, then I think they're okay. I believe they're okay. But for the pop music, guess what kind of emotions they usually provoke? It's the excitement, yes? Or the passions. A lot of times it's the provocativeness.
And there's also one very easy way to discern whether this music is good or not. I believe if we are singing hymns, if the music is pure, if the music is serving us as a servant for God, if the music, the certain piece of music draw us closer to Jesus Christ, in such kind of condition and heart, we will not do inappropriate things, to think inappropriate things. So in a way, if you after you're listening to such certain piece of music, please, right away, think of Jesus Christ's teaching. Think about this nine fruits of Holy Spirit. If you feel so close to it, then you are probably in this piece of music is okay. But after you listen to a certain piece of music and you think of the nine fruits of Holy Spirit, you think, oh, no, no, I don't want to get into that. I'm into my zone. I'm into my excite. Then you probably want to withdraw of listening to this piece of music.
And remember, the whole hour we have been trying to get to you about our containers. If you say, okay, I can still listen to him, I love to listen to them. But then if your containers is filled majority with pop music, you know, you become what you eat. If you eat fatty stuff, you become fat. You become what you listen to. If you listen to all those music that provokes emotions not from the Bible, you become those. Your emotions becomes you. You become easily excited, passionate, in you know, those sexual ways, proactive, easily aroused. You become those. So be very careful when you listen to, because you become that.
And after daily intake of these kind of information and emotions and messages, it would be very hard for one day you say, I stop, and you stop. Gradually, of course, I hope everyone could stay away from all these things, you know, the graphics, the video games, and, the, you know, all kinds of sinful pop music. Right. And you know when it's not appropriate music you're listening, you know you should stop, and I hope you can. And if you do not, I'm afraid there's only one thing is going to happen. Satan will sneak his way into your heart, eventually take you away from Jesus Christ. And remember, Jesus Christ will do anything to save you, but will not force his presence into you, which we just learned. Jesus Christ will not force his way into you. Jesus Christ will stand by the door and knock. But only if you're willing to open. He will not break the door, force himself in you. So you have to make a choice. You can make a choice. And at the as for the ending, let's all turn to James.
What was it?
have a few more points. I promise we'll end it on time.
Of course.
So then it comes to the gospel, the hymn offering music, the hymn presentation we do in TCC Church. If you're choosing the music outside of the church, really ask you why. The most important question is, does it make you feel good? Or because the music sounds so beautiful? Or all these are very serving people kind of emotions. You're choosing the hymns to feel good, to because they sound evil. You have to choose a hymn that actually make people pay attention to God, but not how beautiful the melody is. That's a very important.
And please do remember the word comes before everything else.
Right. And then also for the Bibles, what you record is the Bibles. Another point I'm trying to get to you about music is, and which you all know very well, music is used as a, for the tabernacle in the Old Testament. There's like a professional musicians for the tabernacle, for all the services they have. That's how important hymnal music is. And also, it has been used in a battle. And guess where the choirs are? The choirs are actually in front of the army. That's one of the previous verses I don't have time to read. It's right in front of the armies when you do the battles. That's how important music is. Another thing is, David casts out demons. You know this story, yes? With harp, with music. He wrote a lot of songs. And also Revelation, angels are singing in heaven. The point I'm trying to make is music is actually spiritual. It's not material. That's why it's scary. That's why it's holy. That's why it's very important you choose what you listen to. It's spiritual. Now you can end with
yourself. And it is very powerful. It's a double-bladed sword. You can use it in the right way, or you can use it in the wrong way. God is using music to save us. Music is one of God's tools. And music is also Satan's tool to destruct us. Let's all turn to Book of James, chapter 1. Book of James, chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he was being approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and antics. 15. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers.
Amen. Be very careful.
Let's all kneel down and pray. Hallelujah. In the name of